Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping our listeners hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis. The phone lines are wide open right now, and we would welcome your calls at 844-322-2742. If you have a Bible question or if you're dealing with some troublesome issue in life, at home, at the office, wherever it happens to be, let us hear from you right now. We'll discuss it and point you into the Word of God for the answer and the solution. Well, give us a call right now at 844-322-2742 because it's Basic Gospel, everybody. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. You know, Bob, in times like we've been experiencing over the last year, we certainly need and desire and want somebody to help guide us through, to help navigate these choppy waters,
yes,
these uncharted seas. For many of us, this is new territory. We've never experienced such. We've never seen chaos out there in the world like we're seeing today. We've never seen the confusion that's out there, mm-hmm, swirling, you know, as rapidly as it is. And a lot of us, it's just leaving us at a point where we don't know which way to go. We don't know what step is our next step.
Yeah.
And it would be nice to have somebody that could shepherd us through this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why Jesus made this statement that I am the good shepherd. He is the one that's going to lead us through every trial, every tribulation that we go through in life. There's lots of people out there that pretend to care about you, pretend to have your best interest at heart, but when it gets down to it, they're just thinking about themselves. They're just thinking about their own well-being and not yours. And so we need to have some discernment. We need to know who to listen to, who not to listen to. And I think anybody that's out there in the world who is pointing you to Christ Jesus, is pointing you to a trust relationship in Him, pointing you to His love, grace, mercy that was extended to you through His death, burial, and resurrection, is somebody that actually cares for you.
Yeah,
that's somebody who is actually interested in you and is concerned about you. Now, back in the days of Jeremiah the prophet, there were a lot of so-called shepherds within Israel. And here's what the Lord said to Jeremiah about these prophets. He says, "What sorrow awaits the leaders of my people, the shepherds of my sheep, for they have destroyed and scattered the very ones they were expected to care for." Now, he goes on to say, he says, concerning these shepherds or these prophets, "Do not listen to these prophets when they prophesy to you, filling you with futile hopes. They do not speak for the Lord. They keep saying to those who despise my word, 'Don't worry, the Lord says you will have peace.'" And he goes on to say, "Have any of these prophets been in the Lord's presence to hear what he is really saying? Has even one of them cared enough to listen?" You know, there's a lot of and lots of people within the Christian community that claim to be prophets.
And they're coming out of the woodwork.
They
right
are
now
coming out of the woodwork, and they are giving prophecies,
yeah,
about everything, political prophecies, economic prophecies, world event prophecies, all of this sort of stuff. And many of the prophecies that they give just scare the weebie-jeebies right out of you. So those aren't any good. Others are false. They fill you with false hope,
yeah,
futile hope. And it just leaves us all in a mass, a heap of confusion. So what do we do about that? How do we navigate those types of waters? Well, we get our eyes back on Jesus. He is the shepherd of our souls. Like I said, there are many imposters out there. They pretend to care about you. All they are is nothing more than wolves in sheep clothing. They don't care about you at all, only themselves. There is one who does care about you. His name is Jesus. He laid down his life for you, and that says something. So listen to his voice and let him guide you, and when he does, you're going to experience peace in the midst of these topsy-turvy times in which we're living.
Great admonition, Bob. Thank you for those thoughts. And friends, thank you for being here for this edition of Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad that you're with us. We have an open line for you right now at 844-322-2742, and we would love to hear from you. If you have something you'd like us to discuss or discuss with you on this edition, the lines are wide open, 844-322-2742. And if you've listened to Basic Gospel for any time at all, you know that Bob Christopher is frequently producing new resources to help you hear, believe, and live in this good news of Jesus Christ. And for those of you who support Basic Gospel with your prayers and gifts this month, we want to send you a copy of his latest work called Jesus, a 30-Day Devotional. It's your opportunity to fully immerse yourself in a month-long look at the person and work of Jesus Christ. It's our way of saying thank you for your gift of support in the month of January. Again, you can make your gift, as always, at basicgospel.net. Well, once again, the phone number, 844-322-2742. Give us a call. We want to talk with you.
Yes, we do. And we're going to start out in California and talk with Margaret. Hi, Margaret.
Hi, Bob Christopher. How are you?
I am doing well. How about you today?
Well, I'm calling because I've been reading the Bible for many, many years. And as I would read the Bible, I would try to believe it, but instead of doing it by faith, I started going by how I felt. So, to make a long story short, as I did this year after year, I've got to the point where now I am trapped in my mind by doubt and belief, and the more I read, the more questions I get, and so I'm like I'm almost got like a stronghold in my mind where I cannot get past what I'm thinking in order to take the Bible by faith and believe it in my heart.
So what are you thinking, Margaret? What are some of the thoughts that are tripping you up?
Thoughts about is Jesus really who he is? Did the apostles really, were they really guided by the Holy Spirit? Is this really God's word? I mean, just those kind of thoughts. And I would dig more into the Bible to get my answers. And, you know, I would think, oh, yeah, okay, I'm really taking this by faith, and maybe for a couple of days it's okay, and then they're right back. And, of course, the more I dig in order to get through the problems, I'm getting deeper and deeper, and my mind is, like, controlled. And I feel like I'm deep in my thoughts that I don't have the power to get out of them. And my question is how do I get out of it? How do I get to the place where I can actually know I'm believing this in my heart and I'm taking my faith and I'm trusting?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a great question, Margaret. And, our thinking, you know, what we put in our mind, that generates feelings. You know, feelings follow thought. Some of these thoughts that you're having are producing some feelings, and those feelings, you start to make judgments about yourself based on those feelings. You understand that? Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Okay. So it kind of underscores those doubts and intensifies those doubts that you have in your mind. But as far as the facts, you know, and that's where we need to start as far as Christianity is concerned, is the facts. There was a person named Jesus Christ that entered into this world, and he inhabited a body. He was born in Bethlehem. He and his family escaped into Egypt. They made their way back to Nazareth. He lived there, was raised there. He grew up. Once he grew up and started his ministry around the age of 30, he made Capernaum his headquarters right on the northern shores of the Sea of Galilee. And you can go to those places. You can go to Capernaum, and you can see that little village where he made his home. It's a real place. It's not a Bible land story, something that's been made up. It's real. You can see it. You can see the Mount of Beatitudes where he did the Sermon on the Mount. You can go from there and travel south to Jerusalem, and it's there. And you can see a couple of sites where You know, he could have been crucified. There's evidence that those are the possible sites. You can see where the temple stood during Jesus's day. You can see some of the stones laying around there around the Temple Mount. So these are the facts. This isn't a made up story. So like Roman mythology, Greek mythology, all of the quote gods that you read about in the Old Testament, those were just made up out of the minds of men. Those weren't real. Zeus isn't real. It's just a fiction. It's just a fictional account. But Jesus actually became one of us. He walked on planet Earth, and he actually died on a Roman cross. So you look at history and you judge things, and there's historical ways to examine what's being written and look at all the various sources. And I don't think there is a person alive, a historian alive, even the greatest of skeptics that deny that Jesus existed, deny that Jesus was a real historical figure, that he actually lived the story of the Bible. So we have a lot of sources that are verifying this Bible that we read. So there's the facts. And then when you read the Bible, you see that that Jesus was placed in history. He was at the time of Herod the Great, of Augustus Caesar and Quirinius, who was a governor in Syria. You see all of these historical figures, and again, historians have verified their existence. We see at his trial, he stood before Pontius Pilate. Was Pontius Pilate a real person? Well, in Caesarea by the Sea, they've done all kinds of archaeological excavation, and they've actually found a stone with an inscription of his name on it. So there's all kinds of things that verify the story that we have before us. So now we've got that out of the way. Now the next step is to say, okay, he died on a Roman cross, and he said he died for your sins in accordance with Scripture. And this is where faith comes in. Do you believe that? Margaret, do you believe that Jesus took all of your sins upon himself and died in your place?
Yes.
Yes.
I believe that. Let me explain something. You know, as I've been in church and I've listened to messages, okay, through those messages over the years, I came to believe that. But when I read it in the Bible, I'm thinking, how do I know this is really God's word? And I'm struggling with the facts written. So does that make sense?
It does make sense.
So at Bible, I can say, yes, I believe that. But then I'm sitting there struggling, is this really God's word? So that's where I'm trying to get through from what my mind is saying to having my heart believe it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, there's lots of people that, come to the word of God, not believing that it's the word of God. And then when they read the word of God, as the writer of Hebrews says, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And when you read it, it pierces through to the heart. So that you know what you're reading is true. And that's what you want to know, is what I'm reading true. And if it's true, then right, it had to come from God, because he is truth. He is the author of truth. He's not the author of lies. So the truth is that God sent Jesus into this world. The truth is that Jesus died on a Roman cross for your sins. Now, the question on the table is simply, do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus died on a cross for your sins? Do you believe that he was raised from the dead 3 days later so that you could have eternal life?
I believe it as it's written. But I guess my feelings are like saying, how do I know?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's where
that's where faith comes in.
That's where faith comes in. Yes, and yes, indeed.
And maybe that's what I'm struggling with is the faith. Mm-hmm. And it's like I can't get past my mind to be able to have that faith.
Well, let me ask you this, Margaret. I mean, here's the big question. You know, we all know that, you know, every human being that I've ever met, every single one of them knows that something is not quite right inside of them. So they describe it in terms like this, that something is missing, that they feel empty inside. They feel like there's a big hole deep within. They just don't feel complete as a human being. They also know that their behavior doesn't line up with something. It misses a mark. It falls short. They also know that their thoughts are not really good all the time. They're not pure and noble and all of those sort of things. They can be selfish. They can be vindictive. They can be mean. They can be, you know, all over the place. So every human being knows that. So the question is there a fix? Is there something that can make me whole? Is there something that can make me right as a human being? And you look out there in the world, and there's no fixes out there in the world. There's a lot of promises, but they're empty, they're hollow, they're deceptive. They're just facades, and when you open the door, there's nothing behind it, absolutely nothing behind it. So you have to say, well, is this gospel message, is it the fix? Is it the thing? Is it the truth that can change me from the inside out? And that's where you have to say, I'm going to trust this Jesus. I'm going to trust the fact that he came into this world and he died for me, that he was raised so that I could have eternal life, and I'm going to believe in him. And as you do, as you call upon the name of the Lord, and that's what the Bible encourages us to do, to call upon the name of Jesus Christ. There's no other name under heaven by which men can be saved, by which we can be saved. So the Bible encourages us to call upon the name of the Lord. And it says when we do, we're saved. Now, that doesn't mean we necessarily feel saved. That doesn't necessarily mean that all the doubts go away. But it means something has happened. God has done something on our behalf. He has saved us, and he has made us alive together with Christ. He has cleansed us, forgiven our sins, made us righteous, and sent his Spirit to take up residence inside of us. And so faith says thank you. And so we respond to the grace of God through faith, and faith gives us this attitude of thankfulness inside of us, a thankfulness that says, Lord, thank you for forgiving all of my sins through your death on the cross. Thank you for giving me eternal life through your resurrection. Thank you for sending your Spirit to live inside of me. So faith says thank you. So I would encourage you, Margaret, to whenever those doubts and those questions come to mind, let that be an opportunity to stop dead in your tracks and say, Lord, I want to thank you for what you've done for me through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So just to kind of summarize, to recap, as far as salvation, salvation is more than just believing a set of facts. Salvation is more than just just recognizing the history, salvation is for you is going from death to life. See, what's wrong with us as human beings is that we're dead in trespasses and sins. And when we believe the gospel, God gives us new life. He takes us from death and he crosses us over into life, eternal life. That's what salvation is. So when you receive Jesus, you receive life. He gives you his very life. And that's what you're thankful for. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So have you ever received the life of Christ? Do you know that you've been made alive together with Jesus?
I'm sorry, what was the question?
Do you know that you've been made alive together with Jesus Christ? That you've been raised to walk in the newness of life? Just as Christ was raised physically through faith in Jesus Christ, you've been raised spiritually so that you can live a new life?
You know, I've prayed hundreds of times, probably thousands of times over the years. And I don't know, because I take that by feeling, and then what happens is all these thoughts start coming to my mind, all these doubts and everything, and I'm thinking, well, I guess that didn't happen because I'm doubting, and so God's not going to save me if I'm doubting and not believing.
Guess what, Margaret? Guess how many times I prayed to receive the Lord? When I was a kid, I received the Lord at a summer camp, and I knew something had happened to me, and then all kinds of doubts hit. I got tempted with all kinds of things, and I gave in time and time again, and I felt so guilty and felt so ashamed, and I knew God was disappointed and that he had turned his back, and I said, obviously this didn't take, so I'd pray to receive the Lord again, and then I'd pray to receive the Lord again, and then I'd pray to receive the Lord again, and never knowing if he ever heard my prayer or ever had ever saved me again and again and again and again. And finally, all that stopped when I recognized what I just said to you, that salvation is life. Salvation is much more than forgiveness. Salvation is life. It's eternal life. It's crossing over from death to life. And Paul says it in two different places, Ephesians chapter 2, Colossians chapter 2. You who were dead in trespasses and sins, he's made alive together with Christ. And when I read that, everything changed. That's when the light bulbs went on, and I knew that I knew that I knew that I was saved. And I want that for you. I want you to drive a stake. I want you to come to a point where you have that assurance of salvation, that you know that you are in Christ and that Christ is in you. Now, we're about out of time, Margaret, and what I want to do, I want to put you on hold. We've got a couple of resources that I want to send you. I want to send you my book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and I tell my story in that, tell the story of receiving Christ hundreds of times and what brought that to an end in my life. I think you'll identify with it. Read it, and then I want you to call us back, okay?
Okay, and could I ask you, could you please pray for me over this matter so I can get past this? I've been struggling so many years.
Absolutely.
And it's actually making me physically sick because I can't get through, and it just like eats at me.
I understand, and we will pray for you, Margaret. We're about to go off the air. Let me put you on hold. We'll get some information and get those resources to you.
Thank you, Margaret. Thank you for calling. Thank you for reaching out. And friends, thank you for being with us for this edition of Basic Gospel. And as the Lord brings Margaret to your heart and to your mind, you can pray for her as well. And please remember, friends, that Basic Gospel is listener-supported. We need your help to keep this good news on the air and to be here for people like Margaret who are reaching out and who are frustrated with life and with faith. And so we love the opportunity to be here, and we love for you to be a part of that as well. You can donate now or anytime at basicgospel.net, and we'll see you tomorrow for Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Bye-bye.